All the way?
All the way. Oh, yes, I'm good now. Okay. Well, I wondered, okay, I'm going to speak in church on creation. That's always a little rough because, you know, people aren't really ready for a science lesson on Sunday morning. That makes it rough enough. But now it's Mother's Day, and so I was going to do something on the origin of life, how we came to be, since everyone here came to be from a mother. But then my wife made the obvious suggestion that I was missing with my little paper towel roll tube view of these things. She goes, well, why don't you do it on Eve? I went, oh, that's a good idea. Why don't I just do it on Eve? So, well, that's pretty. Okay, I'm going to do this on Eve, yes, the mother of all living, the Bible calls her, with just cause. And so I'm going to romp through some stuff. I actually think it was pretty interesting in Sunday school today. A lot of the questions and comments actually kind of led into what I'm going to talk about. But I promise I won't get into time dilation or the Cretaceous-Tertiary boundary in your Sunday service here. But let's take a look. Actually, how many ever read any works by H.G. Wells? The Time Machine, yeah, for instance. He's a sci-fi writer. But H.G. Wells was also a very well-known atheist in his time, an evangelist for atheism, actually. Yes, he wrote good science fiction. I enjoyed his books, War of the Worlds, you know, when I was a kid. But look at what he says here. If all the animals and man had been evolved, then there had been no first parents, which includes Adam and Eve, okay? No Eden, no fall. The entire historical fabric of Christianity, the story of the first sin, and the reason for an atonement, the teaching upon which Christian emotional morality are based, collapses like a house of cards. There are people in the church that think that the Adam and Eve story, the Adam and Eve history, is not necessary. And as we said in Sunday school, it's not a salvation breaker. But I think if you are saved, you'll begin to realize pretty soon after that that it's true, that the whole word is true, that all scripture is good for reproof, correction, and instruction, including Genesis. But the atheists know that Genesis 1 is the root of the tree, and they are trying to lay the axe to the root of the tree all of the time. The smart, intelligent atheists who aren't just interested in ranting and raving, realize this is the key to destroying Judeo-Christian faith, is no parents, no first parents, no Eden, no reason for original sin, no reason for the redemptive death of Jesus on the cross, no reason for a mercy seat, you see. And he's right. If there was no original sin, then there's no need of a Savior to die for us. The atheist is righter than a lot. Sorry again for the grammar, sweetie. The atheist is righter than some preachers, than maybe a growing number of preachers in America and across the world. How many of you know who this man is? Richard Dawkins? Yeah, I think I'm going to have to make that font there bigger, but I just found this quote from him recently. I'll read it to you. He says, he's talking about Adam and Eve. Okay.
Oh, but of course the story of Adam and Eve was only ever symbolic, wasn't it? Symbolic. So Jesus had himself tortured and executed for a symbolic sin by a non-existent individual. Nobody brought up in the faith could reach any verdict other than barking mad.
That Jesus would have had to be barking mad to die for an imaginary Adam and Eve who sold us all into sin. And he's right. Look what it says. Compromise on Genesis? Even Dawkins gets it. The most famous atheist evangelist in the world gets it. That the whole Bible doesn't make sense if there wasn't a first father and a first mother. So this is my topic today. Eve, the mother of all living. How do you like the pink, honey? I tried to, you know, it matched. It's pink. And I tried to use girly font, too. Don't be looking for much of this girly font for me, okay? But today, I'm using the girly font. It's in honor of all of you mothers. That's pretty good. I like that. Okay, here we go. In the beginning, everybody was a creationist, weren't they? Because, well, we knew. I often wonder if Adam and Eve, when they were like in their 500s, in their 600s, in their 700s, Did people even believe them? Yeah, that was us. You know, well, you do look pretty old, but nah, that was just a story. I wonder, by the time they were in their later years, in their 700s, 800s, 900s, if people just didn't believe them anymore. Look, no belly button, you know. But Eve, there she is, the mother of all living. Try to keep in mind, this is an allegory, and you're actually off evolving from apes somewhere right now. Yeah, or was the story factual, actual, historical, and true? That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. Everybody knows of Adam and Eve's famous sons, Cain and Abel, but hardly anybody knows about their poor son, Seth. Poor Seth is so left out. Well, at least we know Seth's name. What about Adam and Eve's other children, only known as sons and daughters? Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters? Part of the problem, folks, is biblical illiteracy, even within the church. Just a few chapters later, we get that, yes, Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters. I don't know how long Eve's fertile period lasted. Adam, it says, lived to be 930. I don't know, when did Eve go through the change of life? Was she 450? Was she 550? I don't know, but you could have a lot of kids in 500 years. And so some scholars say 38, some say 52. I'm saying they probably had more than that. And chances are, ladies, that although Eve did have the curse of pain of childbirth, chances are it's just gotten worse since then. Our lifespans have decreased, our general health has decreased, and the curse that came on us, the curse of death that came on us, is just getting worse all the time. And after all, look at how long people used to live before Noah's flood. Well, anyway, biblical illiteracy is also one of the problems why Christians who don't know their Bible well enough are so susceptible to ideas of, well, Adam and Eve were just figurative. Adam and Eve were symbolic. No, the Bible doesn't treat it that way, and neither did Jesus. And even Richard Dawkins knows Jesus believed Adam and Eve were real. Okay, how about dirt? If we go with the evolution theory, dirt made us. Wasn't there just chemicals floating in the ocean? And how many of you realize that evolution teaches that life came from chemicals floating in the ocean all by themselves? Well, okay, the majority of you don't realize that. Now you do. Chemicals float. Well, how did chemicals get in the ocean? Well, they soaked out of the dirt and washed into the ocean. So really, dirt. Is dirt our mother? That's the beginning of the evolution story, the most incredible part of the evolution story, that chemicals into dirt washed into the ocean, chemically combined with each other to get even better, and then those chemicals combined with each other to make DNA, and amino acids, which then would make proteins, and nucleotides, and RNA, and an off and running we were, filling the sea with organic chemicals that just then put themselves together, and dirt mothered us by accident. No, that's not scientifically logical either. But look at what they believe. The idea that life arose in some primeval soup is now being modified by most evolutionists now believe life originated in the rocks and minerals of the earth, and this is a biblical prophecy. Look at Jeremiah 2, verse 27, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. Now this refers to idolatry, idols made out of wood and stone, but it's also, I think, prophetic to our modern idolatry. Now we worship stones because the chemicals from the stones made us. Don't worship God. See, the word out on the street is don't worship God. Worship the stone that gave birth to us. Dirt is the mother of all living. That's actually what is believed now. As funny, humorous, and anti-logical as that sounds, it is the modern idolatrous religion of the modern evo-atheist pagan. This is what they believe. And if there is no God, if dirt did make us, then we should worship the dirt. We should worship rocks. But is that true? No. The living God, the creator of heaven and earth, made us, you see. And he made our first parents, Adam and Eve. This is an old quote that evolutionists always criticize creationists for using old quotes, but since I've had this same article quoted to me by evolutionists, I think I'll use it. It's from 1954, and George Wald, a Harvard professor who won a Nobel Prize, said this. This is the mindset of the unbeliever, and we talked about that in Sunday school, the mindset of the unbeliever. Look what he says. There are only two possibilities as to how life arose. One is spontaneous generation arising to evolution. The other is a supernatural creative act of God. This is a Harvard professor saying that. There is no third possibility. It's either God or it's evolution, he said. Spontaneous generation, that life arose from non-living matter, was scientifically disproved 120 years ago by Louis Pasteur and others. That leaves us with the only possible conclusion that life arose as a supernatural creative act of God. This is the atheist evolutionist George Wald at Harvard University saying this. But I will not accept that. I will not accept that philosophically. Why? Because I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible. Spontaneous generation arising to evolution. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We talked about that in Sunday school. This is the reason they don't believe that Eve is our mother, that they will believe something like dirt is our mother. One only has to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Yet here we are. As a result, I believe in spontaneous generation. I'm glad he used the word believe. It's their religion, their faith. Now it's time for something lighter. How many like Calvin and Hobbes? Calvin and Hobbes in church. Here we go. There you go. I'm glad, brother. Thank you. Okay. Aren't you supposed to be doing your homework?
I'm pretty sure the assignment was optional.
Denial springs eternal.
It's not denial. I'm just very selective about the reality I accept.
Calvin has his own little religious faith. Denial of the obvious, of what is there for all to see, that the Creator created us. This is Louis Pasteur from a speech that he gave to the French Academy of Sciences in 1864 when he had finally proved spontaneous generation can't happen. This is the scientist that Dr. Wald was referring to. Never will the doctrine of spontaneous generation recover from the mortal blow of this simple experiment that he had done. No, there is now no circumstance known in which it can be affirmed that microscopic beings came into the world without germs, without parents similar to themselves. He created the biotic principle, the biotic law, the law of biogenesis, which has been called by modern textbooks as the cornerstone of modern biology, that life comes only from
life.
Which is the against that is a totally faith-based proposition. Evolution is a faith-based proposition because we now know by the laws of science that life comes only from life.
I say a day without denial is a day you've got to face. From now on, I'm not going to think about anything that's unpleasant.
Isn't that a pretty self-deceiving way to go through life?
I'm not going to think about that.
It's the only way is to deliberately, they are willingly ignorant, 2 Peter says. They're willingly ignorant. I heard one preacher say dumb on purpose. Dumb on purpose. How about sewage? Maybe sewage is the mother of all living. I'm trying to be lighthearted here, and I made it pretty. Now, you might think I'm kidding, but if it wasn't dirt that made the organic compounds, here's a story. Okay, one summer I got two emails from two kids in two parts of the United States. One was in high school and one was in junior high, and they both told me the same story that their science teacher told them. This is what's out there. If God didn't make us and it wasn't dirt, then, and Richard Dawkins said perhaps it was alien, advanced alien beings that made us, and of course they would have evolved by some Darwinian process. But here it is. Okay, here's the story. About 3.5 billion years ago, a star cruiser from another planet came through our solar system And when they got near Earth's gravitational field, they decided it was time to dump the toilets, like an RV. Okay? So it was time to dump the toilets, so they opened the bomb bay doors, boom, and out came all, they were draining the Don's Johns on our planet. And out it all splashed into our ocean, just full of, you know, Vulcan DNA and Romulan proteins and things, tons of these organic chemicals that wouldn't have to go through the fanciful process of just dirt turning into organic chemicals, but the chemicals, the building blocks of living things were to splash down into our ocean, and that's what we came from. Sewage is the mother of all living. I'm not kidding. This is called panspermia, the idea that life on our planet came from someplace else, and it might have started with organic chemicals coming from someplace else. And in honor of the new movie coming out soon, there we go. It's time to dump the toilets, Captain. Then do so, Mr. Spock. There you go. That's exactly how... this would be... It is funny, but it's less funny when you realize there are people, highly educated people, that believe this. They would rather believe dirt made us, they'd rather believe that sewage is our mother, rather than Eve, who God made from the rib of Adam, who God made from the dust of the earth. Time for your bath. Let's go.
Sorry, I'm in denial about baths.
Fine, go ahead and deny it.
No, nobody respects my denial.
Well, you know, and we talked about this in Sunday school too. Could God have used evolution? Could God have used the Big Bang? Of course he could. The question isn't could God or should God. The question is did God. What really happened? That's the entire task of science and history to find out not what you think would happen or could happen or would have been cool if it happened. The whole task of science and history is to figure out what is the truth. What is the actual case? What did happen? Did God use evolution or did God do it just like Genesis says in the historical account of Genesis? That's more important than anything. To figure out whether Genesis is true, whether the Bible is true, whether the resurrection is true, whether the virgin birth is true. The Bible says all these things are true. And Jesus put a very high premium on truth. He said, the truth will make you free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Truth is freedom. I want to know the truth. And seeking the truth, being courageous, being not scared to find out what really, really happened, Christian, unbeliever, whatever you are, the truth will set you free, will make you free. Jesus said so, and I believe he was one of the greatest teachers that ever lived and was the Son of God. But many unbelievers believe Jesus was a great man and a great teacher. And he made that statement, truth. Christians should never be scared of truth, because the truth's actually, well, we're right about it. How about Morgi? Morgi is the nickname given to the Morganugadon Oerli, the little rat-like creature that lived 210 million years ago, which was the first mammal that ever lived. It turned from a little lizard, and that's the mammal we all evolved from. How about if it isn't dirt and it isn't sewage, maybe there's a little rat that lived ages ago, and that little rat was our mama, the mother of all mammals. This is a museum, or an artist sketch of a museum replica of the Morganucodon. Don't get me wrong. Now, they did not find that they found bones. And look at what the Smithsonian Magazine said about Morgi, the mother of all. The new $20 million Smithsonian exhibit. Now, I'm from Washington, D.C., and I've been in the Smithsonian. I was born there, so we're both my parents. So this hits a little close to home, literally, for me. The proclaiming Morganucodon, Morgi for short, is the earliest ancestor to humans. A rodent-like creature was likely ancestral source of mammalian genes. The family lost Morgi, but it did in time gain Mozart. Says donor Kenneth Baring, a California businessman. The artist who made the little sculpture, and I'm going to show you a photograph of the sculpture at the Smithsonian Museum in a second here, I had no complete skeletons. I time traveled. I imagined it probably sported a fur coat. It may have nursed its young. Look, They don't even know if it had fur instead of scales. They don't know if it was a real mammal and nursed its young like all mammals do. They didn't even have complete skeletons. They just had little bone fragments to go from, and they built this image. And look, oh, and the museum curator talked to the sculptor and said, make the head a bit bigger to reflect a large brain in relation to body size. Why? Because it's one of the defining characteristics of mammals. So the real bones they did find didn't even support this idea that the head was that big. And this looks like a tiny brain to me, but they had to make it even bigger to make it look like it could be our mama. Look at the title of the article, The Mother of All Mammals. And it would be funny, except they believe it, like the dirt in the sewage. They believe this. They've replaced Eve with a rat. And there it is. There it is, the mother of all. The title, the honor given by Adam, the first man, to Eve, the first woman. She shall be called Eve because she is the mother of all living. That's her title. Sons of Adam, daughters of Eve. I was talking with Jake about Chronicles of Narnia. You need to read the Chronicles of Narnia, young one. Yeah, he's smart enough. I know he can do it. You need to read the Chronicles of Narnia. And sons of Adam, daughters of Eve, we are all the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve in the physical. We're sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of Zion in the spiritual. And since Adam was the son of God, according to the genealogies, Adam was made by God. He is the source in all and of all. This is the Hall of Mammals in the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. And, of course, they have other mammals, you know, like lions and tigers and... See, if you know the old Wizard of Oz movies, you know that. And then they get to the orangs and the great apes, and then they finally, at the end of the Hall of Mammals, they've got a little pedestal with this statue, this bronze statue of Morgi, the mother of all mammals. There it is. Now, let's take a look at the Bible verse. I told you there's prophetic scripture for our day and age. It's referring in that day and age to idolatry, but I think it translates very, very easily and directly into the idolatry of today that rocks and sewage and rats made us. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Which is exactly what Morgi is, a four-footed beast creeping thing. And they've said, that made us, not God. They're glorifying as our mother, Morgi, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Worshipped the creature? Yes. You go into a museum of natural history, even like our Sam Noble Museum, which I've been in many times, Bob knows. And what do you see? You see hanging up in a glass case a model of a fish that made us anatomically incorrect, even according to the fossils, just like Morgi. It's adapted to fit their story, their mythology. But you go in there and look and behold the fish that made you. Worship the fish. You know, if there was no God, ancestor worship, which the Buddhists practice, ancestor worship would be logical. If there was no God and God didn't make us, then worshiping the ancestors is what you should do. Now, the Bible does say, honor your mother and father, that your life may be long in the land. That's true. And the Bible says that the woman, the virtuous woman in Proverbs, her children will rise up and call her blessed. We are to honor our parents. We are to revere our mothers. But we don't worship them, because God made them. But if there was no God, we worship ancestors, maybe even worship rats and sewage and dirt. It is their religion to worship these dead things, these creeping things, because the creeping thing made you, so worship it. And if there was no God, that would make good sense. But there is a God, so it doesn't make good sense. It's idolatry. It's idol worship. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient. And the spin-off effect of that we see in our society today, maxing out. I have to think we are coming up to as it was in the days of Noah, where the thoughts of men were only violence and perversion continually. There's a little morgy on a pedestal down low enough that children can pet it. And behind it there is a little room where the kids can sit on carpet-covered squares and sit down and watch a little movie that runs over and over again of the family reunion picnic for the mammals. It's the mammals' family reunion picnic, and it shows the rhinoceroses and the giraffes and the monkeys. And all the mammals are there, and there presiding is Great-Grandma Morgy. Great-Grandma Morgy is like Granny Clampett. You know, she's the matriarch of the family picnic. They're teaching little children that we came from rats, that Morgy. And look at what it says up close. 2 times actual size, in parentheses. We already know that they exaggerated the brain case to make it look smarter. We already know they didn't have all the bones. We already know that it might not have nursed its young. It might not have had fur. It was incomplete. They wanted to build this part of the story in there pretty tight and call it the mother of all. And that's the Morganucodon Urali. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul, for it's the power of God unto salvation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I always had troubles with that verse until I asked a pastor what that verse really means translated from Greek. The word hold there, I wondered how you could hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold there is a Greek term used in the Olympics, the Greek Olympics. It's a wrestling hold. It's that kind of hold, like a half Nelson. It's a wrestling hold, and it means to suppress or to pin someone on the wrestling mat. So now, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, literally, it would be suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, it makes a lot of sense. I suppose in the 1600s, people who would read that would automatically know exactly the context of it. But we need to know a little Greek to remember this. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? There's no excuse for this kind of idol worship. There's no excuse for it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And it is foolish, scientifically, logically, philosophically, and scripturally. Here's a little cartoon from Answers in Genesis. Nobody really believes that human babies come from storks. The biology isn't real. Why should anyone believe the words of this book if its biology isn't real? Well, the miracle of the creation is real. By God's power, the Bible says, He created all things. Then after that, He created the kinds reproducing after their kinds, including humankind. If the biology of the Bible isn't real, why should we believe it? And a lot of people, because they don't believe that the biology of the Bible is credible, they decide not to believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John either. And that's the stumbling block to the unbelievers. Now, okay, so I showed you all the world's alternative counterfeits to Eve, our mother. What do we have scientifically? And here we go, Brother Dominator. Here we go for the scientific evidence that exists that Eve was real. With the advancements in molecular biology and genetics, we've been able to assert Eve's reality. Take a look at this. This is Newsweek magazine, 1988, The Search for Adam and Eve. Now, some people say, well, how do we know that's what they look like? We don't. But do you realize every one of the human gene pools on this planet came from these two people? So all the genes that we now associate specifically with Africans or Native Americans or Hispanics or Asians or Caucasians, all those genes came from these two people. They would have been a blend somehow. Now, how the balance worked out, I don't know. We're trying there. But I was impressed that Newsweek actually made them a mix, because they would have been. We all came from that woman there, the original Mother's Day mother. Look at what the article says. Trained in molecular biology, they looked at an international assortment of genes and picked up a trail of DNA that led them to who? A single individual woman from whom we're all descended. And who knows what they entitled her, they named her. Eve, they named her Eve, but what? Lucy's a monkey. yeah, and they're trying to say we all came from Lucy and that she's the monkey that was our mother. She's the granddaughter of Morgy the rat, and Lucy the chimp was our, yeah. But they called her mitochondrial Eve because they used the mitochondrial DNA in all of our cells, which only is traditionally thought of to pass through the mother, the female line, in all animals and humans. And they traced it back. Look what it says. To find Eve, she had to first persuade 147 pregnant women to donate their baby's placenta, their afterbirth, in order to trace the mitochondrial DNA back. But they found out that the triangulating from all the DNA of living people today and from the placental tissues from pregnant women, that in 1988 we realized there was one woman that all humans came from. 1988, we knew this. Genetic Eve gets genetic Adam. Then they found out, of course, the guys are not the star of the show today. That'll be Father's Day. But we found out that all people are related to one man that lived in the ancient past too. But one woman. We are finding that humans have very shallow genetic roots, which go back very recently to one ancestor. That indicates that there was an origin in a specific location on the globe, and then it spread out from there. U.S. News and World Report said in 1995, the most recent common ancestor, the MRCA, the most common recent ancestor would have lived in the very recent past. A few thousand years ago, Nature magazine modeling the recent common ancestry of all humans, 2004. Like I said, traditionally, we have thought that the mitochondrial DNA only passes through the egg cell, through the female line in humans. But then we found out that males can actually contribute to the mitochondrial DNA and its divergence, or its differences. And that meant that the differences could happen faster if it wasn't just a direct line through the women. And they had to say, in the past, they always thought that this mitochondrial Eve lived 120,000 years ago. 120,000 years ago was their date when they triangulated all the DNA differences between all living people and pointed backwards. It came to a point 120,000 years ago until they realized that mitochondrial DNA changes faster than they thought. How much faster? 20 times faster. Divide 120 by 20. Regardless of the cause, evolutionists are most concerned about the effect of a faster mutation rate. For example, researchers have calculated that mitochondrial Eve, the woman whose mitochondrial DNA was ancestral to that in all living people, lived 100,000 to 200,000 years ago in Africa. Using the new clock, she would be a mere what? 6,000 years old. And this was in Science Magazine, 1998, calibrating the mitochondrial clock. And she says, Ann Gibbons says, no one thinks this is the case, of course. No one really thinks that's the case. But the science says it is. That we all descended from one single woman who lived 6,000 years ago. You know, after 1998, I think when they calculated this, you know how egghead scientists are. This is just cool. Let's calculate it. Oh, 6,000 years. That's cool. But they weren't realizing, they weren't letting the left side of their hemisphere know what the right side was doing. And they hadn't added it up. Oh, that's the Bible. And soon after this, you never heard about this anymore. But the main research papers from the technical journals, not Science Magazine, but from the original research, are still there in print. I've looked at them. They're there. And there's no other way to explain this. No one believes this is true. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and their foolish heart was darkened. The science says we all came from one woman. Our mother is not a rat, not a monkey, not sewage, not dirt, but Eve. And the scientists have picked her name to describe the ancestor of all living humans. Eve is the mother of all humans. Martin Luther said, we know from Moses the world was not in existence before 6,000 years ago. If you believe the Bible, the world was not in existence before 6,000 years ago. But if you don't wish to retain God in your knowledge and you reject sound doctrine, they will not endure sound doctrine, is one of the prophecies about the end times, then maybe you'll go with dirt or sewage or rats or monkeys. That's true. I could have included Lucy in my talk this morning. It would have been a good monkey mama for us. But oh well, it made it go too long, and then we won't beat the Methodists out to lunch. So okay. So to wrap it all up, this sin, and there are our first parents, honored and revered, yes. But they did sell us into sin. I don't think we'd have done much better. Sometimes we think, if I'd have been there, if I was Adam, I'd have stopped her from doing that. And I'd say, come on, Eve, let's go home. But Adam didn't. And women say, if I was Eve, I would have just slapped that snake and walked away. But she didn't. And you know what? Since we're humans, I don't know that we'd have done any better. And the Bible does say that Jesus was preordained to be the sacrifice for our sins. God knew when he made our parents that this was going to happen. And he already, from the foundations of the world, had set up the system of salvation and redemption and the vicarious death of Jesus on the cross. He'd already set up the mercy seat. I'm so glad that we sang about the mercy seat this morning. This sin brought death into God's perfect creation. This death paid for sin to bring salvation. And now this sinner can die to his sins and live to Christ. So when he dies physically, he'll live again. That's the gospel. It's the whole gospel. Why we need a Savior. Why we need a Savior. Okay, God bless you, my brothers and sisters. I hope this has been encouraging, and I hope it was motherly enough for you. But it's the truth. And the truth will make you free. God bless.